This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Looking for answers about someone and you've hit a dead end? There's an online tool that can help you locate almost anyone within minutes. Confidentially search millions of public records by phone number, address, name, or email to find out more information about people in your life. Go to truthfinder.com to locate almost anyone now.
The only show that can give you not just a full entire breakdown of the Major League Baseball opening day schedule. Happy Major League Baseball opening day. Not just a full rundown and prediction on all eight Sweet 16 games. Happy Sweet 16 Thursday. Not just a rundown on Alex Ovechkin's quest for Wayne Gretzky's goal. The fact that LeBron James has more double-doubles since turning 39 than Allen Iverson did in his entire career. But also the show that can, and probably will, go in depth on the intricacies and the adaptations of Magneto as played by both Fassbender and McKellen, and do so with depth, integrity, and intelligence that you'll find nowhere else. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. Great to have you. I am Rob Brown, that young man on the other side of the glass, my co-host, the great one, Lonzo. Both of us with you for the four most electrifying hours in sports, talk, entertainment. Happy Thursday, my dudes and dudettes. Spectacular to have you. Hello, Lonzo.
Hello, you forgot to mention anger, because I think we're on the edge of anger on our little argument.
But no, I'm not. I'm not.
No, I was talking about you. Wasn't talking about me.
Oh, no, not at all. I just said I'm not. I'm very much not. We were having a discussion.
Yeah, usually, I'm not mad is the person that's mad. That's usually how that works.
Then how does one say?
No, when you have an argument with someone and you say, why are you being angry? The person who says I'm not angry is usually yelling that they're not angry.
No, I feel like the person who says, why are you mad, as opposed to, are you mad, is trying to create a narrative. My question for you then becomes, how do I express to you?
So when you argue with your wife, if you say that, you're trying to create a narrative?
If I am too in the midst of a discussion, heated or otherwise.
Hey, everyone argues.
I mean, look at my wife and say, why are you mad right now? Then she will be mad. What I do say as a wonderful Class A communicator is, are you upset? And if so, did I cause it? That's how you handle the situation. You're mad, bro.
That's probably a dumb question. Because if you're saying, are you upset? That means you know they're upset.
Not necessarily.
I think that's worse.
Some people are just intense. I think that's
saying, well, I don't really recognize that you might be emotional now.
I think I'm going to say this lovingly. You more than anyone else I know have this thing that you do where you just assume like this is how I am and therefore this is how everyone is.
Dude, that's funny. Not true. That's funny coming from you.
That's not true.
Because that's what you do on everything.
I don't think it is.
When you say we, and you're talking for the collective we, like everyone thinks the way you do. I don't think there's anyone on the radio who doesn't think that everyone thinks the way they do.
No. There is a difference between I am right and I am dedicated to the concept of the discussion and the viewpoint that
please,
I hold.
Please continue, know where a ball.
Versus, I do know ball. That is correct.
The pointing out of people who don't.
I mean, when people don't know ball, they don't know ball. That's just objective.
Yeah, it just killed the argument.
The discussion that we were having before we came on the air was Fassbender v. McKellen. Which Magneto do you prefer? Because yesterday, Marvel put out a live stream that they got everybody hyped for. And the live stream was effectively them adding chairs to a stage with the actors who will be appearing in the Avengers Doomsday movie, which we already know, of course, Robert Downey Jr. will be returning, but not as Tony Stark, as Victor Von Doom. This is a very nerdy discussion. You're going to have to stick with me. And one of the things that was most exciting about that stream was that chairs with the names of the OG X-Men actors were up there. Scott Marsden, who of course played Cyclops, et cetera, et cetera. And when they got to the X-Men chairs, Ian McKellen's name was there, who of course played old Magneto in the old round of X-Men movies and is my favorite Magneto because I like old, angry, over it Magneto. Lonzo prefers Michael Fassbender, who played the younger Magneto in the X-Men origin series of movies, who I also thought did a fantastic job. But I just like the old angry Magneto, not the younger, more energetic Magneto. It's just a subjective preference from me. And because I have that preference, apparently I'm mad. That's where we are. We're having a married couple fight.
No,
is what we're doing.
I never said you were mad.
Also, I just looked at the text line.
I just said angry.
You literally, okay.
Yeah, but that,
well, those are different words,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, well, I wasn't saying that you were angry. I just said also angry.
Then you said,
by the way,
that seems like you.
I was just joking, but why are you mad, bro?
There it is. I'm going through the text line as I always do. It's one of the things that I do as we start the show is I look through the text from the day before because, you know, hey, look, you guys might have had a wonderful conversation on Wire to Wire
maybe
the night before.
You might have.
A conversation that I missed. There were wonderful conversations on Wire to Wire every
day. Thank you.
But you may have had one yesterday that I missed. And I like to go look and see what was getting texted in. What are people talking about? Like, for instance, the last text was shout out to Wofford Baseball, who upset top 25 Troy in Alabama last night. Good win. We are going to talk some baseball, both because Clemson got back on the W side of things with a 9-1 win over the Presbyterian Blue Hose last night. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk, obviously, Major League Baseball opening day because at 3 p.m. we have a round of games starting up that go all the way till the final first pitch of the day at 10 p.m. tonight. Yes, indeed. Your boy will be parked in front of the big screen all day long today. And we will be talking some MLB later on in the radio broadcast. But one of the last texts that was sent into the show last night was from friend of, and I dare say, enormous fan of the show, Dewey, who texted us to compliment how wonderful of a job we are doing all the time. And he said,
Thanks, Dewey.
Phenomenal guy. We love Dewey. And Dewey loves us. And that's my favorite thing is that Dewey texts every morning. He's like, you guys are doing an amazing job.
One of us does.
He texted the show to end the show and said, I raw dog all the time. So I don't know if it's because of the conversation we had yesterday about what's his face, Patrick Warburton.
Is it Wire to Wire after dark?
I guess.
What's going on?
I mean, I hope not because we had the same conversation.
Yeah, but I thought that show was more wholesome and more, you know, family friendly.
Yeah, we're the immature, sophomoric people for sure.
Well, one of us is, and then you're here.
We got a show lined up today, people. We got a lot to get into on the radio program over the next 3 hours and 52 minutes of broadcast excellence. As mentioned, we do have Major League Baseball's opening day today. The Atlanta Braves taken to the diamond for the very first time this year. Just after 4 p.m., Chris Sale going to the bump to take on Michael King and the San Diego Padres. And listen, you're not going to sit here and say, oh, the opening day game is a big game. But it is a big game. And it's a big game, and I'll tell you why. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week when we did our Braves season preview. And I said this on Tuesday when I was sitting in on BetMGM Tonight. Said it on this show the same day. The Braves are a team holding a lottery ticket. The Braves are a team with a Powerball ticket in hand. If they punched all these numbers in and they got the numbers right, and the reality is it is way less likely that they did not than that they did. But if they punched in all the numbers right, and they are right about all the guys that they have in the 1-9 today. Jurickson Profar, 31 years old, had a career year last year, but he had his career year at 31. Is that an anomaly? Is he worth a three-year, $42 million deal? Ronald Acuna Jr., coming back off the ACL. He was the reigning defending MLB NL MVP a couple of years ago. The next year, he has his second career-altering ACL injury. Now, he's not playing today. He's going to be out a few more weeks as he continues to rest and rehab and get back to hopefully 100%. If he does get to 100%, can he be the guy that is an NL MVP candidate again? Off the bump, they don't decide to let. Max Fried decides to leave and go up to New York. Chris Sale elevated to the number one role as we continue to wait for Spencer Strider to make his return. Strider did pitch in spring training, by the way. In fact, his last outing of spring training, K'd 6-4 innings, I believe. So, like, it looks good, but the Braves aren't going to rush him, obviously, because if Spencer Strider goes down again, which was the beginning of the end for Atlanta last year, the Bravos are in trouble. They don't have the depth unless they're going to make a big trade deadline move, which I think they're going to do anyway, but we'll talk about that later. Spencer Strider's got to be right. Austin Riley has got to be right. Last year, Marcell Ozuna in the DH spot had kind of a career resurgence after kind of slowing down a little bit. Is he going to continue that momentum? Can Matty Ice Baby, who stank Matt Olson for 99 games last year before turning it on in the second half of the season, can he just be that guy all year long? There are all these things that have to go right for Atlanta. And if the Powerball lottery numbers hit and all of those things go right, I genuinely believe that the Braves are one of four teams that can win the National League. The Dodgers, obviously. The Philadelphia Phillies, the Atlanta Braves, and the San Diego Padres. Now, there's a couple of wild cards out there. I think the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to be back and good this year. They have an 86.5 over-under win total. They won 89 last year. That's more than 86. I don't think they got worse. They had Corbin Burns for a little bullpen depth. I think they got better. Not dramatically, but I think they got win 90 games good. So I think they're in the mix. I think the San Francisco Giants could be in the mix in the National League. But I think there are really four teams that can win the National League. The Dodgers, the Padres, the Braves, and the Phillies are the four teams I think can win the NL. Phillies, I got a question about because this is the first year that I've looked at Philly and been like, they might be aging out of contention. Obviously, you age a little slower in baseball than you do in the NFL, the NBA, NHL, whatever. But we are at the point now where Bryce Harper's well on the wrong side of 30 years of age. Guys like Ranger Suarez, who have had really good years the last couple of years, they're not young anymore. So I get worried about the Phillies. The Braves aren't an old team. There are guys that are older, Matt Olson, Marcell Ozuna, etc., but they're not an old team. The problem is everybody on the diamond, with a very few limited exceptions, there are question marks about them. And so I consider the Braves a team holding a lottery ticket. If everything goes right and they picked all the right numbers, the Braves could absolutely represent the National League in the World Series. Again, still think it's going to be the Dodgers. The Dodgers are like even money to win the NL and like plus 150, I think, to win the World Series. That's dumb. That's a dumb number. That's a dumb number. No team in the history of me watching baseball and following gambling odds has ever been that short of a favorite to win the World Series, not the division. I've seen a lot of teams that have been like plus 120 to win the division, like Atlanta a couple of years ago. But to win the World Series is a ridiculous number. I think the Braves can be in the back pocket of the Dodgers, but I think that's only if that Powerball ticket hits. That's only if Acuna's good, Ozzie Albies is good, Austin Riley is good, Chris Sale can run it back, Jurickson Profar was not an anomaly, but it actually is that good, what he did last year in San Diego. There's all these ifs. This is a team built on ifs. The Dodgers are not built on ifs. You know what the Dodgers are going to be. I don't think that the Padres are an if. That's a young team that had consistent play last year. I don't think that they're 100 wins good. I think they're 92, 93 wins good. But it's not ifs. If everything goes right for the Braves, if everything goes right for the Braves, I think they're a 99, maybe 100 win team. I think they are probably the second best team in the National League if they're healthy, if all the things hit. But if they miss on two or three, if Acuna Jr. is not the same guy, if Profar looks more like the guy that got cut by the Rockies than the guy that had the career resurgence last year, they're down the tubes. If Marcelo Zuna reverts back to a guy who has problems putting the ball on the bat with power, they revert. If Matt Olson has another 100-game stretch of playing bad baseball, they're cooked. They're in trouble. So that is, to me, and I've done this on a couple of shows and a couple of stations over the past couple of weeks, that is, to me, the biggest issue that you have. There's just a bleep load of ifs for Atlanta. And if they get all the ifs right, they'll be in the NLCS across from the LA Dodgers. It'll be an uphill battle in that 7-game series, but it is winnable. If just 3 or 4 of the ifs go wrong, it's going to be a very long season for the Atlanta Braves. It's going to be another disappointing season for the Atlanta Braves. And on top of that, it'll probably be time to rebuild and retool, because those ifs aren't going to go away at the end of the year. They will be the same ifs that the Braves bring onto the field next year. So, to me, the Atlanta Braves are a team with a lottery ticket. If they got the numbers right, they are absolutely in line for the grand prize. But if they got more than a handful of more than a couple of the ifs wrong, then they're cooked. So we're going to talk some baseball a little bit later on in the radio broadcast. We have got some NFL news and notes. Yesterday, Zoe and I were talking about this before we came on the air. I don't know what I expected out of this 60-minute sit-down of LeBron James on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. I know what I expected. I expected Pat McAfee, of whomst I am a fan, to just be a frat boy and have some fun with LBJ. And we did get that. But there were 3 or 4 moments out of that sit-down interview yesterday that were kind of interesting. One of which, I genuinely believe, probably had Adam Silver and the ghost of David Stern freaking out. Because LeBron said something about the NBA draft that the NBA has been accused of for many, many years, but nobody's ever really been able to prove it. And the folks accusing the NBA of doing so have largely been outside of the NBA. Yesterday, the most famous athlete in American sports, whether you like him or not, the most recognizable athlete in American sports globally yesterday kind of tiptoed through those daisies a little bit. And I got to imagine the NBA front office got thrown into chaos yesterday when he did. So we're going to address that as well as some other interesting comments that came out of that interview. As we mentioned, college basketball. I went yesterday and I looked at the bracket. Not the bracket challenge, just my bracket in general. Just the bracket in general. And this isn't going to be why I give you the winners and the losers that I'm going to pick in the Sweet 16 tonight and tomorrow. But there are some really interesting possible matchups that could happen in the Elite Eight, in the Final Four, and in the national championship game. There are some I really want to see. We could theoretically see, though it would destroy my bracket if it happens, we could see a Final Four matchup of Michigan State. You telling me you're doing anything? But taking every minute of that game in the Final Four in? We could end up in a situation where we have an Arkansas John Calvi Florida Final Four game with a couple of wins. We could end up in a situation where we have an all SEC Final Four. If you get Auburn from the top, Florida or Arkansas from the bottom left, Kentucky or Tennessee from the bottom right, Alabama from the top right, we could have an all SEC Final Four. I think that would be interesting. And in a weird way, although it is not, well, one of the two teams I picked to the finals. Would there be anything, and I'm kind of rooting for this, I really am, would an Iron Bowl basketball national championship not be the most compelling thing that could possibly happen? Like, sure.
No, it would not be the most compelling thing. It would be compelling to the South, but not compelling to everybody.
Just
like Michigan State will be compelling for the North, but not for everybody.
See, I disagree. Oh, okay, I'm not going to disagree on behalf of everybody because I don't speak for everybody. Okay, I made that clear. What I will say is a great rivalry is a great rivalry. To me, one of the things that makes a great rivalry is that it is respected, admired, participated in maybe to some degree by people who have no connection to it. I have no connection to Michigan, no connection to Michigan State. I would love to see a Michigan State Final Four game.
You kind of have a connection to Michigan now.
Well, okay. You know what I mean. No, I mean, I really don't. I have a connection to a guy who hates Michigan.
No. That other guy.
Okay, got it. I would love to see that. I have nothing to do with that Big Ten rivalry. I would love to see that. I would love to see. I have no connection other than I worked covering the two schools. I have no connection to Auburn, Alabama. I would love to see. Do you understand how incredibly entertaining the internet gets if Auburn, Alabama meet up in the title game?
Well, you do
unbelievable.
Know, you do know your good friends was an Auburn guy. So you do kind of have connection. I mean,
other people's connections are not my connection. Do I have fans?
Why not? That's how the world works.
Do I have friends who are fans of one or more of these schools? Absolutely. I don't have an Auburn, Alabama connection, Michigan State connection, Duke connection, Florida. I do have a lot of Florida connections, friends, but I don't have a Florida connection outside of I cover the school. There are some really interesting matchups, and we're going to get to those later in the show.
Does your brother pull for Florida?
Yeah, I don't have a connection to Florida.
Okay, all right. I just was saying.
I don't want to see him happy. Are you kidding me? Let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday. Let's get weird. It's the Fan Upstate.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? I'm going to talk about this because I like it.
Oh,
because I like
my
it.
God.
You can all thank Kane for what is about to happen because I adore it so much. Kane asked during the break, what is the trapezoid of excellence and is it legit? Now, if you're not watching our live stream at facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on X, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch because we are young, hip, and with it, as the kids say. I have pulled up this year's Trapezoid of Excellence graph. Now, the Trapezoid of Excellence is a XY axis graph.
Rob, could you describe a trapezoid for those young listeners who have not made it to trigonometry?
Sure.
Or geometry? Or
I'd
whatever?
Be more than happy to. A trapezoid is a square that's not a square. It's a square where, like, the sides, two of the sides are angled differently. It is a quadrilateral, let me give you the exact definition, a quadrilateral with exactly one pair of parallel sides, often called the bases, while the other two sides are called legs. So you can have them, two sides are going to be parallel, the other two are going to go in different directions. So in the Trapezoid of Excellence in college basketball, it takes your net rating adjusted for your opponents. So it takes your strength of schedule into consideration, and then it takes your performance against your strength of schedule, and it puts it somewhere on an up and down y-axis. And then it takes your pace of play. That is to say, compared to your success level against your strength of schedule, how good are you? How fast do you get up and down the floor, and how efficient are you with the basketball when you do? I have pulled up the Trapezoid of Excellence, here on the stream. And if you look at the Trapezoid of Excellence, what you will find out is that the nerds can help you out dramatically. The nerds can show you teams that give you an elevated chance to get it right. And here's a couple that if you're
All right, really quick, I don't understand this picture that you're showing. Why is the trapezoid? Why are those teams up there at the top and everybody else is in the middle?
So the Trapezoid of Excellence, when you look at the teams at the top of the graph, the y-axis, the up and down, those are the teams that are just good, that your net rating adjusted for opponent. So they take your strength of schedule, how good was your in and out of conference games, and how well did you perform against them? More quad one wins are going to move you up on that graph. That is why Auburn, Tennessee, Duke, Florida, Houston are all up towards the top of that graph because they had either great strength of schedule and good success against it, or great success against an average schedule, or some combination of both. The x-axis, the left to right, that is the pace of games. That is how much are you in control. That is time of possession. That is offensive efficiency. That is, in those games, how much control of the games did you have? How fast were the games? Which is why, over on the left-hand side of the screen, you see Drake, a team that did win a first-round game against Mizzou. Why did they beat Mizzou? Because Mizzou, who is just on the outside of the Trapezoid of Excellence, Mizzou allowed Drake to control that game. We talked about this on Friday. Mizzou allowed Drake to control the pace of that game. Drake slowed that game down to a pace that took Mizzou's offensive firepower away from them. So when you look at said Trapezoid of Excellence, and again, if you're wondering what the hell I'm talking about and you don't know it, go to our live stream right now, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Fan Upstate on X, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. And what you will see when you look at the Trapezoid of Excellence is that inside of said Trapezoid of Excellence, good job on this subject, Kane, I'm very proud of you, you will find the Houston Cougars, a one seed.
I'm the opposite of proud. Thanks, Kane.
I mean, again, I don't know about you. I like every available bit of data.
Yeah.
That's how I know ball.
I mean, I have the chance to prove what is proven almost every year, that someone can go and fill out a bracket in just a couple minutes and beat all the people who look at trapezoids and quad ones and all the in-depth stuff, and those people get really angry when they don't win. How often does all this research result in the winner of the tournament?
Well, let's take a look at this year and see how it's stacking up so far. Inside of the Trapezoid of Excellence, Houston, still alive. St. Mary's ran up against the team inside this Trapezoid of Excellence. Tennessee, still alive. Duke, a one seed. Texas Tech, still alive and a favorite over a non-Trapezoid of Excellence team this year. Auburn, number one overall seed. Florida, still alive. Gonzaga, bounced by a Trapezoid of Excellence team. Maryland, still alive. Arizona, still alive. Right on the borderline of the Trapezoid of Excellence, Mizzou, bounced. St. John's, bounced. Purdue, still alive. Just on the outside of the Trapezoid of Excellence, the Clemson Tigers, bounced. The UConn Huskies, bounced. BYU, still alive. Georgia, just outside the border, bounced. Kentucky, still alive. Illinois, bounced, but bounced very late, bounced in the second round, and bounced by a Trapezoid of Excellence team. There are a couple of exceptions. Alabama is inside of the Trapezoid of Excellence in terms of net rating. They are high enough in their net rating to be inside of the Trapezoid, but they have the highest pace of play. And this makes sense because, again, I've said what about every Alabama game so far? It's a race to 90 with Alabama. This is a track meet style team. It is a race to 90. The teams that are able to either A, slow Alabama down, or B, give enough of a defensive front that Bama misses shots, their shot efficiency comes down, beat Alabama, like Auburn did in the regular season, like Auburn failed to do in the final week of the season when Bama stole that dub and had everybody asking questions about the War Eagle Tigers coming into the tournament. Bama is high enough in the net rating to be in the Trapezoid, but they have such a frantic pace of play. And the reason that the Trapezoid exists with the borders that it has, where the pace of play needs to be somewhere between 60 and 72, the reason why is because teams that are wildly frantic, like Alabama, they are going to have an off day where the offense is either dictated to them by another team or the shots just start falling. They're getting 85 field goal attempts, but the shots aren't falling. You're more likely to fall. Illinois, New Mexico, way over on that side. Or if you bog the game down so far, the opposite end is true, which is to say you run up against the buzzsaw of a team having a great offensive day and they just track meet you up and down. Drake, North Texas, who missed out. Virginia, those teams. The teams that are in the middle, the teams that can play balanced. We can get up and down the court when we need to. We can also slap the hardwood, play defense, slow the game down if we need to. Those are the teams that traditionally have success. So when you look at said Trapezoid of Excellence, God, I love this stuff so much. When you look at the numbers, the teams in the Trapezoid are Houston alive, Tennessee alive, Duke alive, Texas Tech alive, Auburn alive, Florida alive, Maryland alive, Arizona alive, Mizzou bounced, St. Mary's bounced, Gonzaga bounced, all of them in the second round of the tournament, and all two Trapezoid teams. So to answer your question, it is absolutely a thing. Data, numbers tell you a lot about the sports you are following, and this is just truth. This is just truth. All right, let's take a break. Let's talk some Sweet 16 ball when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. God, I like being a nerd. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's enjoyable. It makes me feel good. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. We are inside the Trapezoid of Excellence of radio shows. Rob, the Great Milonzo, and you. Want to be a part of the show? Of course you do. And I'm glad you do. 844-326-3663. That is the number to the Hub City Spartan Burgers text line. 844-326-3663. Before we go any further, I believe we talked about it yesterday around this time, so I will update all of you. I sat by the phone over there. Waiting for Rico Dowdle yesterday. I got a phone call just before we were set to record saying we feel awful about this, but Rico got caught up in some stuff. Can we do it tomorrow? To which I said, sure, not a problem. Understand the man is an RB1 on an NFL football team. He's going to be busy. I get it. So the jinx is real, even if it is a repeat jinx. The jinx is real. I'm going to try it again today, even if it does mean that. Because I love you people. Because I do it for you. Because I am a man of the people. I'm going to go home, let my dogs out, grab my lunch, and then come back up here to interview Rico Dowdle at 1 o'clock. And, fingers crossed, we will have that interview for you tomorrow on the show. I'm very, very much looking forward to talking to a former South Carolina Gamecock kid right up out of Asheville, Georgia, A.C. Reynolds High School. Asheville, North Carolina. Why'd I say Georgia? Asheville, because I got Atlanta Braves on the brain. Asheville, North Carolina. Played his high school ball at A.C. Reynolds. Went on to South Carolina, number 15 on the overall all-time rushing list. For the Gamecocks, ends up in UDFA with the Dallas Cowboys back in 2020. Was there up until this past year where he was elevated to RB1 after spending a few years in the backup running back role behind initially Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard. Pollard gets sent to Tennessee. Rico Dowdle elevated to RB1. Had a very good year, over 1,000 yards. Last year, seven touchdowns on the season for Rico Dowdle, and now signed to a contract with his hometown, almost, Carolina Panthers. Going to get that RB1 role today, so we will today, fingers crossed, be doing an interview with Rico Dowdle at 1 o'clock, and we will have that for you tomorrow on the show. Quite interested in hearing with it. This guy's got an interesting story, because this man has, and I am going to ask him about this, this man has had enough injuries that it would have made sense that he, like, played a year or two at the NFL, made the money, and called it a career. He's had ankle injuries. He's had knee injuries. He's had groin injuries. He's had a sports hernia. He's had a bunch of stuff. And yet, he just keeps coming back, which makes sense. UDFA to the Cowboys in 2020, one of 10 total rookies to make the opening day roster for the Cowboys, and then never came off of it as an undrafted free agent. Now, a starter in the NFL, as he will likely be the RB1 opening day for the Carolina Panthers in the fall. This cat, and this dates back to college, this cat could have reasonably and understandably quit football multiple times through the injuries and just keeps on going, man. Just keeps on going. And it's fantastic. So, fingers crossed, we'll talk to Rico Dowdle today at 1 o'clock, and I'll have that interview for you tomorrow on the show. I will tell you, we do have a stacked, racked, locked, and loaded program for you today because, first and foremost, the lovely Lulu Kessin will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk a little South Carolina Gamecock basketball and baseball, because Lulu follows the baseball team as well. The Gamecock women's basketball team. Sweet 16 action tomorrow down in Birmingham, Alabama. Taking on the mighty Turtles of Maryland, who won an electric overtime game over Alabama in the round of 32. We'll talk to Lulu at 8 o'clock at 8:40. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast is going to join us. We'll check in with the last few things that have happened since the last time we talked to Rashad last week on the radio program. See how he's feeling about all of the news and notes, or maybe lack thereof. That's at 8:40. 9 o'clock. Hating ass Mario Heron from the BetMGM Network is going to join us. We'll check in with his thoughts on the most recent round of NFL signings and acquirings, as well as check in on the NBA with just a handful of weeks left until we get to the playoffs. LeBron James is still a dog. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And of course, it's Thursday, and you know what that means. Fight Club with the great Milanzo, where we're going to... So did you find yourself like having to power rank the 117 things we need to talk about in Fight Club today? Did you find yourself having to like bracket out March Madness style what was going to make the cut for the show today?
No, I was like searching for things. I know you said something yesterday, and I can't remember it because old. Yeah. No, I think we're good.
Beautiful. Love that. 920 Fight Club. We're talking MMA, boxing, and pro wrestling. Are we going to get the NCAA wrestling championship in here, cuz there was a bit of a shock over there. Bit of a shock in the wrestling, in the amateur wrestling.
There was a poor choice made by a person. Yes.
there was a poor choice.
You're talking about the defeat of someone who was in the WWE and decided to go back to amateur wrestling and then lost? You're talking about that guy?
You think he screwed the pooch?
Don't you?
A little bit. A little bit. Not gonna say no. Not going to say no. So we got that coming up for you at 9:20 this morning. Now, let's get some Sweet 16 college shooty hoops up in here because our round of 16 starts tonight. We've got a fistful of games on the docket. They start up at 7:09. That is when Alabama and BYU will match up. The Crimson Tide enter this game as 5.5-point favorites. -105 is the juice there. -230 on the money line. BYU paying out nearly 2-1, +190 for the outright win. This is the game. We talked about the trapezoid of excellence. We talked about how Alabama is like outside. They're high enough in the net rating, but they're outside the trapezoid of excellence. And the reason that they are outside the trapezoid of excellence is because their pace of play is the highest in the country. This team wants to race you to 100 points every single game.
This is one of two spots where I don't have, where I'm completely whiffed on. So,
Not your boy.
Well, you are a few points ahead, so good for you.
Bama put up 90. Against Robert Morse back in round one. But frantic pace of play also means that if the other team is knocking down their shots, it could get wild. 171 points scored in that game. 90-81 was your final in that one. Game number two, a little bit more under control. A little bit more in control against the St. Mary's Gales. 80-66 was your final in that one. There were a couple of things that I think are important to note between those two games. The 90-81 shootout with the Robert Morris Colonials and the 80-66 win over a better St. Mary's team. One of them was that the defense stacked itself up. They allowed Robert Morris to knock down 42% of their shots. They allowed St. Mary's to shoot just 35% from the floor. They allowed Robert Morris to shoot 26% from three. They allowed St. Mary's just 21%. They turned the ball over a dozen times against Robert Morris. They dropped that number against St. Mary's. Against Robert Morris, they allowed the Colonials to out-rebound them 39-37. They out-rebounded St. Mary's 80-66. I am a believer, and this is obviously something that you cannot prognosticate before the tournament starts, but it is something that you can prognosticate as the tournament rolls on. I am a believer that if a good team gets scared by a less good team, that team becomes dangerous. And I believe that's Alabama right now. Alabama got a scare against Robert Morris. Alabama, against the Robert Morris Colonials, was leading at the half by four. There was a point in time in the second half, about halfway through, where Robert Morris, the Colonials, briefly took the lead back from Alabama. And all of a sudden, that Crimson Tide offense kind of started picking up. The pace started picking up just a little bit. The pace started, they started getting up and down the floor. They started doing Alabama things, playing fast. They did that for about the first 5 minutes of the last 10 minutes of the basketball contest, and all of the sudden, they started pulling away from Robert Morris. They were up by four at the break. They also led by five at the end of the second half. In the second half, they won the game, obviously, by nine. Mark Sears had 22 points in that game, but he shot 5 of 12 from the floor. It was not his best effort. In the next game, Mark Sears shot just 5 of 15 for 12 points against St. Mary's. But something happened in that game that was very interesting. In the game against Robert Morris, there was only one other starter who had double digits. Clifford Omorui had 17. In the next game, four of the starters and two of the bench players got to double digits against St. Mary's, a dramatically better team than Robert Morris. That offense came to the recognition against Robert Morris, in my opinion, that while Mark Sears is probably the, I don't know, one of the top 10 best players in college basketball this year, when you get to the tournament, you're figured out. People know who you are and what you want to do. And so what did they start to do? They said, as Robert Morris did, we're going to take Mark Sears away from you. We're going to shade our defense his direction. We're going to throw double teams at him. If he drives the paint, there's going to be a wall built there. Somebody else is going to have to answer the bell. And against Robert Morris, nobody did until late. So against the Gales, Nate Oates did what Nate Oates does. He made a couple of adjustments. And now all of a sudden, instead of game number one, where I have a point guard shooting four field goals, a shooting guard shooting once from the floor, a shooting forward shooting seven times from the floor. Now all of a sudden, listen to the shot efforts. 7, 7, 8, 5, 15. Mark Sears is still going to get his, but they started spreading the ball around. The offense became much more balanced. They effectively said, all right, you want to take Mark Sears away from us. We understand. Guy's a stud. Guy's a beast. Guy's a dog. So we're going to let other guys carry the load too. Nobody played more than 28 minutes in that game. They got a solid 22 minutes out of Aiden Holloway off the bench. 4 of 6, 12 points. Diabote came off. He had 10 points, 4 of 5 shooting off the bench, 15 minutes. They balanced the offense out. There are schools. I look at Florida with UConn in this round of 16. I look at, I'm trying to think of the, there's one more. BYU, Wisconsin. BYU scares me a little bit. They got their scare. So does Alabama. Duke hasn't been scared yet. I wonder if there's a letdown game for the Blue Devils. And I wonder if it's against a pretty good Arizona team who did get scared by the Oregon Ducks. Now, not as much of a scare because that was a 4-5 matchup. I traditionally put it to teams that are playing legitimate underdogs. Robert Morris for Alabama, for instance. Because I look at some of the other schools that have advanced. Iowa State against Ole Miss in round two. Ole Miss got a little scared by North Carolina, 6-11 matchup. They were able to pull away late. Iowa State played Lipscomb, 82-55. They weren't scared. Ole Miss knew what they needed to do. This is part of the reason that I'm leaning, not official, and I don't have to go official until tomorrow because this game's tomorrow, but I'm leaning Ole Miss with the upset, the 6 over the 2 upset. Even though I have Sparty in my Elite Eight in this bracket, I'm kind of leaning Ole Miss, a team that I also was very high on coming into the tournament, but then scared myself off of on bracket fill-out day. I scared myself off of a team that I spent 3 weeks going, Chris Beard's got this team tournament ready. This team plays tournament-friendly basketball. Balanced-paced offense, slap the floor, play great defense. Ole Miss is into the Sweet 16. And honestly, I think they have, outside of this, it's them and Auburn are the only two teams on this side of the bracket that can take out Michigan State. If Michigan State catches Michigan, I think they run them by 10, 15. If they catch Auburn, really good game. But I think Ole Miss is the most disruptive team in this bracket. And they got their scare against North Carolina. Florida got their scare against UConn, an 8 seed. I think Maryland is in trouble tonight at 7:39 against the Mighty Turtle. I look at Texas Tech and Arkansas. Neither one of those teams really got scared. Texas Tech had really no problem in their opening round 3-14 matchup with UNC Wilmington. Had no problem with Drake in round two. Arkansas got, they're a 10 seed. They can't really get scared. There's nobody that's like, oh, what a dramatic upset for Arkansas. But more importantly, they should have been scared against Kansas. They won that game. Upset. They should have been terrified of St. John's. They weren't. 75-66. Like, they were comfortable. But they're house money. They got nothing to lose. So I like that 3-10 matchup over there. Same with Kentucky and Tennessee. Kentucky, no problem with Troy. Kentucky, no problem with Illinois. A team that they were like a, I don't remember what was the line there. They were like 4.5-point dogs to Illinois. They walked them. Tennessee, no problem with Wofford. No problem with UCLA. They walked them. That 3-2 matchup is interesting. But teams that get scared become very interesting to me. Houston, Gonzaga. Gonzaga was an 8 seed. Honestly, I think they were a 5 seed, maybe a 6 seed. I think they were probably the most unfairly seeded team in the bracket, the Gonzaga Bulldogs. They were able to run with Houston for a while. Houston, just a better team. Purdue, no scare from High Point, no scare from McNeese. Comfortable team. That matchup is probably going to be about what the Vegas line thinks it's going to be. Houston minus 8.5. I actually have Purdue winning that game. Alabama got scared in round one. Now they look like a better basketball team. That's why I think Alabama is likely your Final Four team out of that side of the bracket. So, there's game number one. We're going to break down all four of the games happening today over the course of the show. We're going to break down the four games happening tomorrow. Tomorrow on the show, we got Lulu Kesson joining us in an hour. Rashad Beard in an hour and 40. Hayton Ass Mario in 2 hours. Fight Club in 2 hours and 20 minutes. And Water Cooler Cheat Sheet up next as we roll on. The Rob Brown Show continues after Lonzo starts your day in a wish that Starbucks wishes it could with this Sports Flash.
Okay. Today is Major League Baseball's opening day with 28 of 30 teams in action. You can tell because Rob is wearing his white Braves jersey, rocking it. If you want to know the truth, you can see that on stream. The Brewers and Yankees will start the day at 3 with Toronto and Baltimore next up at 3:07. The Phillies and Nationals start NL East play at 4:05. And the Red Sox and Rangers also at 4:05. Paul Skeens gets the start for Pittsburgh against Miami at 4:10. And the Atlanta Braves will send Chris Sale to the bump at 4:10 to take on San Diego.
Baseball words.
The Sweet 16 fires up tonight with 1-seed Duke. Taking on the 4-seed Arizona. John Shire announced yesterday that Malik Brown, who's not played since the ACC tournament with a shoulder injury, could be added to the lineup. Brown left the quarterfinal against Georgia Tech and was averaging 3 points and 4 boards, but is known for being a versatile defender, so says Rob Brown.